Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:46, and that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is March 7th. And doing the click, it was a generally quiet day on stock markets today, and the precious metals were a bit weaker. I will look at some of those charts in a moment. But when I was doing the click through this morning, what stood out to me was the relative weakness of sugar. It has posted this clear downward dynamic today. It is now testing the region of the trend mean. When I did a little bit of further investigation, I found this article on the Wall Street Journal. A Singapore futures trader has spent $2.3 billion amassing enough sugar to fill 3,000 swimming pools. Makes for some rather heady headlines. But what it also does is it helps to give us a very good example of just how predatory markets are, and that when the market knows that there is a large trader has amassed a very large long position, then there is certainly a tendency among short traders to initiate shorts and to try and pressure him out of that position. And that would appear to be what we're starting to get some whiff of in sugar markets. But it isn't really just sugar. When we look at, for example, Arabica coffee, it did not have the same very impressive rally, but it did rally, then it did pull back very sharply, then it has now encountered resistance below the peak, and it is pulling back to test the low. And again, if it is going to find support, it would really want to be getting about it. And it is, I can't type very well, it is a pretty similar story for the continuous commodity index. That was an impressive rally that it was able to put in at the beginning of this year, but it has now pulled back to test the region of the trend mean. And if that progression of higher reaction lows since November is going to hold, then it is going to need to find support and do it soon. In the wider context of the of a reasonably weak environment on commodities, gold prices were down again. Now it has broken the progression of higher reaction lows. It is trading back below the 200-day moving average. And that would suggest that the sharp pullback that we saw last week on the gold shares suggests that they are leading in both directions. They had led on the upside. They were the first to break above the trend mean, and then they were the first to break below it. And the gold shares were again in negative territory today. The GDX is coming back now into this to test this 21 area. It is short-term oversold. Anyone can see that without resorting to stochastics, but we can certainly see that there is a short-term oversold condition. It probably does need some form of catalyst to convince investors once more that there is bulls in this area. Platinum prices are back below the 1,000 level, trading back to 962. That is quite an impressive pullback in here today. It also has, and this is not the first day, but it has certainly broken that short-term upward bias. It is now back well below the $1,000 level. And this is, it really does need to find support above that $900 area if we're going to give the benefit of the doubt to a ranging upside. We might still be in a very range-bound environment between $800 and $1,200, but that would be suggestive of a very inconsistent environment where it would be more appropriate to have a swing trading rather than any kind of investment strategy employed towards the market. We're no longer dealing with a consistent environment. And of course, the big question is oil. When you look at the long-term, like 10-year chart, then you're presented with this range that has been very, very inert relative to what we're used to with oil prices, and it is occurring above the range that occurred for most of last year, and it is unwinding the short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean. When we zoom in a little bit and look at the internal dynamics of that range, then we're presented with a considerable number of downward dynamics. That the within the range, prices are falling faster than they rise. And we've had an example of that just over the last four trading sessions, that it pulled back very sharply, and then it has taken 3 days to recoup that decline. And when you have such an inert trading environment, then, and there are an increasing number of articles attempting to prognosticate on exactly which way it's likely to go. There are so many moving parts in the energy sector that we can really only rely on what it is that people are doing with their money. And because we have such a tight environment on the futures curve, we know for certain that because there is such a tight environment that hedging has already taken place, that unconventional oil drillers can drill more wells even at a somewhat higher price now because they've already hedged their production and they have limited their risk. So today we had news that Saudi Arabia has initiated a price cut for its Asian supply, and so they are attempting to preserve their market share and perhaps even capture market share, but that is coming up against the very real threat of US production and US exports. Exxon today, and perhaps is worth looking at Exxon, and I do hesitate to call Exxon an oil company in much the same vein as Royal Dutch Shell. It is a natural gas company. The vast majority of its reserves are natural gas, and it announced that it is investing $20 billion in developing its US production. And of course, there is considerably less political obstacles to that. The price has pulled back rather sharply from over $90 to $80 and has at least paused. But of course, if you're going to talk about big gas companies, then you probably need to look at the gas price rather than the oil price. And you can see that there was a quite severe pullback in natural gas prices that mirrored that pullback in Exxon, which really does ram home the point that Exxon is a gas company. Natural gas prices are trading below the trend mean, and testing that low from last October, so they really do need to hold the $2.50 area, and that is by no means certain. When we look at the environment and we look much more broadly at the there is an increasing argument for carbon taxes that represents a cost push. It's going to push the price of gasoline higher if that's indeed imposed, which would enhance even further the argument for electric vehicles, or indeed the Toyota's drive to, and Japan generally's drive to promote hydrogen fuel cells, which incidentally the hydrogen comes from natural gas. So those represent significant obstacles to oil prices sustaining significantly higher prices. So you have unconventional supply on the one hand, and then you have the demand erosion factor from increasing regulation and enhancements to technology. When we look at stock markets, there is something that is coming up in the next week that has not got a lot of airplay. And it is not the Dutch election, it's not the French election, it's not the German election. It is the USA's debt ceiling. And that is going to come up for debate in the middle of this month. And considering that today is the 7th, then there is a fundamental case for thinking that stocks are at least going to pause. What we've seen over the last year on this chart is that every time that one of these short-term ranges has been completed, the S&P 500 has rallied by just about 100 points. And it broke out above 2300 and rallied to 2400. So we were due a consolidation and we're getting one. And so far it has been relatively shallow. And that is certainly in line with the consistency of of this trend that has been in evidence really since last summer. So We have had an explosive breakout. There is an overextension relative to the trend mean. It's clearly quite evident. And a range and consolidation would allow some of that overbought condition to be unwound. And that would be really quite a healthy scenario in the context of what is quite a consistent advance so far. When we look at Europe, it is a pretty similar story. That we have had a pretty emphatic breakout, and there is the potential that for some consolidation, but the relative value of the euro and the dollar is important. The euro, the most important thing that it has done is failed in the region of the trend mean, and it has held that progression of lower rally highs. And considering just how much uncertainty there is ample potential for it to range lower. And that would act as a tailwind in nominal terms for European stock markets. The yen strengthened up after that North Korean missile launch into or quite close to the islands, but it weakened somewhat in here today. And again, the most important thing that the yen has done is encounter resistance in the region of that trend mean. It has not yet quite broken that short-term progression of lower rally highs for the dollar, but it is looking increasingly likely that it will be able to do that. And against that background, the Nikkei has been really quite steady during a period of yen strength. It is still consolidating below this psychological 20,000 level. It was in marginally negative territory today, but it really would need to break down out of this range to question that this isn't simply a consolidation prior to it taking out that 20,000 level and rallying further. The A-share market was reasonably quiet in here today. Reliance Industries in India continues to extend its breakout. It has moved from the CapEx cycle into really reaping the rewards of launching India's most comprehensive 4G mobile network, and that is a very emphatic breakout. And Reliance, I think, is moving back into the top position in terms of market cap for the Indian market, but the wider market is still ranging below this 9,000 level. It is a little bit overbought, so we may see some additional consolidation, and a sustained move above that level would suggest a return to medium-term demand dominance. And a potential catalyst for that would be a strengthening of the rupee. The rupee has been really quite steady in the region of the 2013 peak for the last year. It is trading above the 200-day moving average, and a breakdown to new reaction lows by the dollar would, I think, act as a green light for foreign investors to flood back into India. So it is certainly something to keep a very close eye on. And another market that I think is worth being aware of is Brazil. We have had this pullback in commodity prices, but the Brazilian market has rallied so very impressively over the last 15 months, and it hit a peak last week in the region of 70,000, and that is a very clear downside Kida reversal, and it has followed through on the downside. So there is increasing potential that it is going to unwind its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and that is. Well, that could potentially be quite a substantial pullback in the order of 10,000 points at the current level. It would suggest that the big moves that we've had in commodities are being unwound. And if we're seeing that in some of the better performing emerging markets, then keeping an eye on the mining sector, where we have had some weakness flowing through from the corrective phase in commodity markets. This is the lower side of what has been a 2-month range, and it is the upper side of what was the preceding 2-month range. So if this is going to remain a consistent advance, and we can see that there was one slightly larger range between April and May, there was another one between July and September, there was another above that, reasonably similar sized, slightly shorter duration, between November and December, and then the one between January and February looks almost identical to the one between November and December. So this has been a very consistent advance, despite the fact that it has been a very swift advance. If this is going to remain consistent, then it's going to have to find support soon. And so this is a rather pivotal period overall. So plenty to talk about, despite the fact that it was a reasonably quiet day, and it was a quiet day on the government bond markets as well. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.